Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
It's good to see you. Hi. We're spending the next couple of weeks in talking a little bit about global work, and it's because we have this unique opportunity of many of our global workers coming to town, and we're going to be able to see them, and so we're getting to hear from Jonathan, and next week, Zach Wiley is going to be joining us. He and his wife, Megan, serve in Thailand along with their family, and Zach and Megan very much were sent out from Living Waters, and so it's wonderful when family comes back, and when I think about global workers who are able to come and join us on a Sunday and throughout the week and connect when they're here, I often think of it's like when family from out of town shows up, but it's the kind of family you actually want to see. And I really enjoy it, and I'm deeply stirred by what Jonathan was sharing this morning. When I hear those numbers and I hear the heart and I see the history of John and Vera and the many other families and people that we support around the world, it really, really moves me. So we're going to spend some time talking about global work, talking about the action of God unfolding throughout the world and our participation in that. And we're going to do that a little through a curious little interaction between Jesus and his disciples in John chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to John chapter 4. This week, we're going to look at verses 31 to 35, and then next week, Zach's going to continue on and finish the rest from verses 36 to 38. But allow me to read this, and then we will see what we uncover together. Verse 31, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food that you know nothing about." "Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" the disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for the harvest." Everybody gets hungry at some point if you don't eat. I like getting to know my friends and trying to figure out what happens to them when they get hungry. So I have one friend who is one of the most social people that I know. He's the absolute life of the party. He'll talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. But one of the unique things about him is that when he gets hungry, he has a very fast drop-off from being social to being completely shut down. And that happens in the span of about 5 minutes. One moment, he's just like a firework, and the next moment, he's just like a robot with a battery drained. And so his wife's become so aware of this that she'll carry snacks around in her purse for him to try and stay ahead of the situation and to keep his energy up. I'm not quite that bad. But for me, I can go quite a ways, a while without eating, and I don't necessarily feel it in my stomach, but at some point, it'll very much start to affect my brain. And the main way that it affects my brain is that I have an inability to make a decision. And so there's been times where I'll be even trying to find something to eat because I've passed that point of no return. And I'm standing in Save On Foods or somewhere like that, and I'm just, you know, with a basket. And I have to snap out of it or put something in so that I can actually function. So what I find when I'm not nourished is that I'm not really myself. I'm a different person. I'm not able to have the capacity that I know that I have. I'm not truly, really myself. Being yourself and being nourished is a little bit of what is going on in the text, in the story that we just read, this strange little interaction between Jesus and his disciples. And the interaction is happening within a bigger story that's going on early on in the Gospel of John, in what we would call the Samaritan episode. So Jesus, early on in the Gospel of John, is moving around and he's living out the life of God, working out the action of God, inaugurating it through his life. And at one point, he moves through the area called Samaria. The Samaritan people and the Jewish people were very much at odds in ancient history. And the Samaritan people were especially looked down upon by the Jewish people. The Samaritans were considered to be kind of half-breeds. The ancient Israelite people didn't think favorably of them, so much so that there would be lots of derogatory terms about them that would float around the culture prevalently. They were called dogs and things like that. So there was disdain and there was disconnection. And yet Jesus chooses to move through Samaria, and he has interactions with Samaritan people, and it seems that the kind of work that's happening in and through the Israelite people is also happening in amongst the Samaritan people. So we have this example of Jesus meeting a woman at a well, a Samaritan woman at a well, and having this conversation, and they talk about life, they talk about being thirsty, they talk about this living water, and Jesus says that there's something available for her. The action and the life of God is available for her as well. And after this interaction, eventually the disciples catch up to Jesus, and that's where we find this little episode where John says, "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, 'Rabbi, eat something.'" What often seems to happen when we follow Jesus throughout the Gospels is that the disciples will point something out, and then Jesus will point to something more, something beyond what they're talking about. He'll often take something they say or something that's going on around them, and he'll point to a deeper reality. So Jesus is always leading us further into truth or further into what actually is. And that's what's going on a little bit in this moment here. And as Jesus is doing that, as Jesus is leading us further into truth, leading his disciples beyond, further into reality, they're shown things that they might not necessarily expect. Later in John, we hear Jesus saying that you follow his teaching and believe the truth, it will set you free. So Jesus is leading his disciples into wider country, into open spaces often in these moments. We should expect that of Jesus. In the prayer that Jesus gives us in other Gospels, we begin by saying, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name." And one of the things that we can say about what it is to call God holy is that we're calling God separate. We're calling God distinct, different, the most unique person in the entire universe. And so when we interact with this being, we should expect to perhaps meet with the unexpected, to be surprised by maybe who God is and what God is like. And that's a little bit of what's going on here. There's a moment in which the disciples think they know what they're talking about, which is Jesus' dietary habits. And Jesus takes them somewhere else. He surprises them. He takes them to somewhere they didn't necessarily expect to go. We have this wonderful moment where Jesus replies to the disciples after they're urging him to eat something. He says, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about. I have a kind of food you know nothing about." And his friends are baffled in that moment. It's almost comedic. Did you bring him a Whopper? No. No, I didn't bring him a Whopper. Jesus says, "There's something going on that you're not necessarily aware of." He says, "I'm nourished by doing the will of God. I'm focused on something more than just this narrow way of what goes into my body. There's something else going on. I'm nourished by finishing the work of God. I'm nourished by participating in what is rolling out into the world." Basically, what Jesus is saying is there's more to life as you know it. There's more going on than your narrow perspective of your own existence and the own world that you're living in. And so he's opening the disciples up to new possibilities, to a new way of understanding what it is to be a human being, what it is to live in the world, and what it is to be nourished and fulfilled. And so it's a great moment in John, a great little ironic twist where the disciples come to Jesus expecting to feed him, and he turns the tables and is feeding them. So Jesus in this moment is understood and seen to be really the consummate Israelite. Here's someone who is finally doing the work consistently, thoroughly, in a dedicated manner that Israel's supposed to do. And throughout the Old Testament, we see that God interacts with Israel, God blesses, God gives to Israel in order that Israel will work out the purposes of God throughout the world, that through the Israelite people, that God's love and life and truth and character will spread out. And yet, as we read the Old Testament, we see time and time again where the ancient Israelite people fail to measure up to that. They fall short over and over and over again. Jesus comes along, and in his life, he sums up the vocation and the purpose of Israel within himself, and he is the consummate Israelite. He's the perfect example. And so we see this life of Israel expressed through Jesus, the purposes of God finally through him. So that's why he says, I'm doing the will of God. What I'm put here to do is what Israel was put here to do, is to bless the world as God has blessed me. Jesus is not just the consummate Israelite, though. He's also the total human. When he uses this word nourishment, and we look at Jesus and understand him to be the best example, the best picture of a human being, he's this total human. He's a model for human purpose, what it means to have purpose, what it means to thrive, what it means to flourish, what it means to live abundantly. And so we have this clue in this little moment between Jesus and his disciples, this clue about intrinsic human nourishment. What does it mean to be fulfilled? What does it mean to be ultimately satisfied? What does it mean to be full of life? And we see that in Jesus. And then Jesus has this wonderful moment, almost in the same breath. He invites the disciples into that kind of life. He says, I have a kind of food that you don't know anything about. I'm living in a reality, in a truth, in a deeper way that you've yet to tap into. And I'm inviting you to come along with me and experience that. That's what's going on a little bit in verse 35, I think, where Jesus says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for the harvest. Sometimes, if you've been knocking around church for a while, this harvest language gets very saturated and very particular and very narrow. And we think of it perhaps just in terms of one-on-one evangelism or how many people are saying, a salvation prayer. And we put, limitations on it. And it's because the language has become so prevalent, it's almost taken on something different than maybe the text might be meaning. And I'm not saying that it doesn't reference that, but I am saying that it might reference something even wider than that. Jesus, in this moment, the point that he's trying to make is to say, wake up to what's already happening. In and through Jesus' life, something was inaugurated. Something is different now that Jesus is living and working in the world. Something's going on. And so he's saying to his disciples, there's no more waiting. The kingdom of God, the life of God, the transformation of God working out through the world is happening right now in this very moment. Are you aware of it? And that's a little bit of what's going on. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, there's no more waiting. You're waiting for the kingdom of God, for the consolation of Israel. You're waiting for something new to break forward. You're waiting for that freedom, for that revelation, for the life of God to spill out everywhere. That's happening right now. Wake up to what's already happening. Jesus says the time to join in with God is now. And all you need to do is open your eyes and be aware of it, to check in to what God is doing around you. And it might be happening in places that you don't necessarily expect it to. Let's remember where all this is going on. it's going on in Samaria. Jesus' disciples, along with many of Jesus' contemporaries, would be waiting for and hoping for God's kingdom in their language to break out in Israel, for them finally to fulfill what they're supposed to fulfill, to probably overthrow the Romans. And so they're on the lookout for that. They're not necessarily on the lookout for God's kingdom and life to be bursting out even in the Samaritan villages that they're traveling in. So there's a sense here in which we could pay quite close attention to Jesus and going, where is he saying this stuff? He's saying it in places we might not expect. Are you open, as a follower of Jesus, for the life of God to break into the places and the spaces and the lives of people that you've written off? Are you open to God doing something in a place that you didn't perceive he could ever really do it? Are you open to God being active and involved in the lives of people that you might come across day in and day out that you think God is not really all that bothered with? Jesus is saying, open your eyes. Open your eyes. The harvest is plentiful. It's right now. There's no more waiting. It's right now. Now is the time to check in and to partner with God in what he's doing. Some people, when they think about following Jesus or they think about a Christian life, will think that it's narrow or constricting, that there's this limitation. Doesn't following Jesus or being a Christian mean that things close in? Well, in fact, as we read texts like this and as we follow Jesus and understand really what he's doing in the world and what the message of the gospel has done in the world after Jesus, we'd say that Jesus doesn't shackle or starve a creative vision of life, but he widens and enlivens the imagination. So life with Jesus doesn't get more narrow. It gets more broad. It becomes more open. And we become more open to what God is doing, his purposes throughout the world. Jesus says to his disciples, and he would say to us today, as we listen to Jonathan, as we think about Asia, as we think about where we live, imagine what is possible. Pay attention to what's going on right now and know that the life and the action of God is working itself through the world right now. Are you even aware of it? Can you join in? So when we pray, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, we can expect to be a little bit surprised by this being. And the very next thing that we pray in that prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done. So we're not just surprised by God, surprised by that being. We're surprised by the kind of life that he brings us into. An open life. It's an accepting of Jesus' invitation into a bigger life, not a small life, a life that's just focused on eating and drinking and self and individualism, but a life that is beyond, not a life that's necessarily focused inward, but a life that is focused outward. That's the kind of life we're invited into with Jesus. Jesus is saying to us to recognize that as human beings, you and I were made for more. We were made for more than just an inward-thinking, self-focused life. We're made for a bigger life, an outward-focused life, an expansive life. And the next thing Jesus says once we recognize that is, wake up to what is possible. Wake up to what is possible. Even if you're not sure if it is possible, all things are possible. We read elsewhere in the scripture, through God. And that's some of what we were singing today. Wake up to what is possible. And not tomorrow, not 2 weeks from now, not 10 years from now, but right now, right where you are. So a couple of questions that I've been asking myself of this text and I would ask of us today is, first, are you hungry? Are we hungry? Are we interested in more? Are we interested in becoming more ourselves rather than less? Because when we pay attention to this intrinsic human nourishment, we recognize that we will become more what it is to be truly human if we pay attention to what our purposes are. And when we go back to the very beginning, We go back to Genesis 1. We recognize that we have been designed, we have been purposed to work along with God in helping to see his life and love flow out throughout the world. So my question for myself, for you today is, are we hungry? Are we malnourished? Are we inward thinking, inward focused? Or are we open to what the possibilities are? And if you're feeling hungry, I would direct you to Jesus, the total human, who's going to show you how to live. Maybe you've never been open to Jesus before, and you find yourself here today. Maybe you would go, there is something missing. There is a sense of, why am I here? Why do I exist? What is the point? Jesus came in part to show us the point of what it is to be a human being. So if you're feeling malnourished today, I would direct you to Jesus. I direct you to a relationship with Jesus, to begin to pray, to begin to speak with him, to be open to him, and to see what kind of life he might lead you into. The second question that I would maybe ask us is, are we awake? Do we have our eyes open? One of the things that I love about hearing from our global workers is I'm inspired by listening to them, because they are people who walk around the world with their eyes wide open, enough to risk, enough to travel, enough to lay it all on the line. And it's important to hear from people who are doing that in different places. And it's important to hear the things that Jonathan has said. There might be some of us here that go, I need to go. We really want to take that seriously. Many people who we support and have blessed and have gone out over the years have sat in the very same chairs that you're sitting in today, and a light went on and said, I think I need to go. And maybe that's to Asia, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's next door, or maybe it's just down the street, or maybe it's across the province or across Canada. But are we awake to what is possible? Are we awake to finding ourselves standing in the middle of a space that is ripe with the action and the life of God, and all we have to do is to be open and get involved with it? The last thing I want to ask you is, are you open to the unexpected? Some of us, I'd imagine, are in families and in workplaces and in neighborhoods that might feel a little bit like Samaria. We might go, I don't really see how this is ever going to be shot through with the work of God. I don't ever see how this is going to be redeemed, and I don't really know if God's all that interested in it. And if you're honest with yourself, you'd say, I don't really know if I'm all that interested. I don't know if God cares, and I don't know if I care. And I would encourage you today to listen to this story and to listen to these words from Jesus, where he says, wake up. God is at work right here as well. And maybe you're here today and you've been discouraged over the last while. You go, I don't know if God is at work here. Well, according to the truth of Scripture, according to the history of the church and how God has been rolling out into the world since Jesus inaugurates this beautiful kingdom that we're all a part of, Jesus would say, it's happening right now. Yes, he's at work. Participate. Be open to it. And so for those of you that have been trying to be open to the work of God in very, very difficult territory and wanting to see him move, my encouragement, continue to be open. Continue to be faithful. And continue to know that there's going to be a nourishment that comes from that. Receive that from him today. And Dave is going to come now and actually pray for us that we would be nourished, that God would give us what we need when we find ourselves in the places and when we feel called to new spaces, to be nourished by God, to be able to do the work that he's called us to do. So can we stand together? And Dave's going to come and pray.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Luke, for your thoughts, for your challenge today. Could we close our eyes and Paul said to the Corinthian church, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Lord, we are mindful of you today. We confess our limitations. We ask you today that you would stir our curiosity in light of all the things that you have on your mind for us. We pray that you'd open up our eyes, as the scripture calls us to open up our eyes and look around. Help us, O God, to potentially look away from the things that have preoccupied us, to look towards better things and greater things. As your word says, you will be a light unto our path. Lord, we pray for faith as we walk out this week to be ones who would believe you for greater things. Lord, as we dismiss one another, we do so with great expectation and great curiosity. Fill us with your spirit as we go. And may our lives this week be lived in a way that would give glory to you and be a benefit to others. Lead us to good places as your word says you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Trust we'll see you perhaps sometime during this week, if not next Sunday, as we gather together again.